Is now the time to gamble on Shohei Ohtani cards? With his current dip in prices, should you roll the dice, or are there better players for you to invest in? We're going to tell you what we think next. Hello, sports card investors, and welcome to another episode of Cards on the Table. Doug, I know you and I just got done with a busy week of gambling on March Madness last weekend. Unfortunately, for all three of our teams, Michigan State, Kentucky, Florida.
You're living in the past, Jeff. It's baseball season now. The Batcats are ranked 21st in the country.
Doug's excited about baseball.
Didn't quite go the way we wanted during March Madness, but we were doing some gambling, and apparently while we were doing some gambling, there were others out there.
Rubbing elbows with Ohtani.
Maybe Shohei Ohtani's interpreter that was doing some big-time gambling as well. Now, I know all of you guys have already heard this story, I'm sure. The $4.5 million in wire transfers that were made from Shohei Ohtani's account to what seems to be an illegal bookmaking operation in Southern California. Did Ohtani have any involvement, or was this just his bookkeeper? He certainly denies all involvement in this. It seems like maybe he's going to end up getting cleared in this entire thing. But this was enough to really get some people worried in the sports card market who were holding on to Ohtani cards over the last couple of weeks. In fact, we saw Ohtani's cards dip in price around 6% over the course of the last 30 days. Now, in fairness, a lot of baseball cards have dropped over the last 30 days. Juan Soto's cards were down about 3%. Aaron Judge's cards were down about 4%. Acuna's cards were down about 4%. Mookie Betts down about 1.5%. But Ohtani's did have a little bit of an extra drop. And if you look at his charts in Market Movers, you can see that it particularly, you know, over the last number of days on the right of that chart, they dipped a little bit extra when people started to get concerned and panic sell. So you got his prices at this moment a little bit lower than they were a couple of weeks ago. My question to you, gentlemen, is with the start of the season right around the corner, in fact, today, the season literally starting today, happy opening day, should we be gambling on Ohtani cards and buying the dip, or do we need to be staying clear of all of this? Teapot, I'm going to start with you today.
I would not be selling. I'm not worried about this. I will say I think society is kind of a mess right now, and we live in a country where it's supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. But boy, do these witch hunts come out, and it disgusts me. Ohtani, this is not a Wander Franco situation. This is not a Pete Rose situation. Ohtani exudes class. He exudes excellence. And I'm reminded of a scene from The Dark Knight that some men are jokers. As Alfred leans over to Bruce Wayne and he says, "Some men aren't looking for anything logical. Some men just want to see the world burn." That's all of these crazy maniacs who are like, he's done, get him out of here, we hate Ohtani, his cards need to go to zero. Yes, the money came out of there. There are so many different factors. Rob Friedman from Pitching Ninja, which by the way is one of my absolute favorite accounts on Instagram and YouTube, he's a lawyer, and he broke down the fact that Ohtani's accusation that Ipe stole this money is huge. It's huge. He didn't just deny, he didn't just go silent. He said that that opens him up to malicious prosecution, defamation lawsuits, as well as potentially criminal liability if he's lying about that. So none of those things are a small thing. I think, meanwhile, we see Ipe's character being called into question. There's all these lies about his past and his history and his career surfacing. Ohtani cares about baseball. That's pretty much all he seems to care about. Even back to Japan when he was playing over there, that's all he did. He wants to be one of the great ones when he's said and done. I'm not worried about this. I really don't think
you are a buy on Ohtani.
I'd be a buy on Ohtani right now.
Burger.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know that I could completely agree with the premise that this is a witch hunt when $4.5 million from his personal account went to illegal bookmakers. Yeah. I think that's more than a witch hunt, but I hear you. It does seem
this wouldn't be the first time that somebody who's a young athlete has been taken advantage of by somebody who's a friend, a family member.
It has happened a lot.
Personal advisor.
It has happened a lot. Doug, what is your take on this? You want to buy Ohtani, or do you steer clear right now?
Welcome a fellow degenerate to the club, honestly. I'm just happy to have, you know, Sounds like he might need some picks. You know, that's a lot of money to lose on some bad bets. So I'd be glad to help him out with some picks.
A little too many first-round bets on Kentucky, perhaps.
So I'm not really scared of buying Ohtani cards. I'd be more scared of injuries than I am this gambling.
That's how I am.
He's the face of MLB, and he exudes class, like you said. If he were, you know, if they were to find that maybe he dabbled a little bit, they're going to sweep it under the rug. It'll be a total cover-up. He'll never get accused of anything. They can't afford to take this hit to the sport. So I wouldn't be afraid of this in terms of buying him. If you're worried about his injuries over time, then be cautious of that. But if there's a dip in Ohtani that's not caused by injury, then it's a buying opportunity for me because there's not going to be a lot of those to take advantage of. He's going to be considered one of the all-time greats when he's all said and done, barring injuries, of course. So, if you see a dip that you can take advantage of, I would go for it.
His card prices are down about 50% from where they peaked out last summer. So last summer when he was on the historic run, doing incredible both pitching and hitting, his cards went nuts last summer. They were the ones last year his cards had ascended the most out of any player by far. It started back in March of last year when they won the World Baseball Classic, when Japan did, and he struck out Mike Trout. And then he just continued to go up and up and up throughout the course of the season. But then he got injured. He got shut down from pitching. Then he got shut down from hitting. He didn't finish out the season. He kind of unceremoniously just cleared his locker out, you know, during the middle of the night one night with the Angels, and no one really knew he was actually done as an Angel. But people figured it out when he was back in Japan. Since all of that happened, his cards are down about 50%. So the recent gambling news pushed him down a little further, but they had already been on a pretty big downward trajectory. Now, they had actually come back up a little bit when the big Dodger move was announced and the big contract was announced and everything like that. I'm still a buy on Ohtani, but also I don't feel any pressure to buy him right at this moment. I do think you stand some danger. He's not pitching this year. He's only hitting. If he's in a bit of a slump, if he starts off cold, if he gets injured again at any point, you're going to see him come down further. Long term, love it. Yeah. Short term, I think you can be patient and just kind of see how the season plays out a little bit. All right, guys. Well, that was quite the topic. What is much less of a gamble is PWCC, both buying cards in their weekly auctions, which they have some amazing cards in today, but also their vault, because they're offering a special offer right now for sports card investor viewers that if you submit cards to PWCC's vault and you use code SCI when you register your cards for the vault through pwccmarketplace.com, they're going to vault your cards for free as long as they're worth at least $50 in value. They're going to insure them free for life. They're going to take free high-resolution photos, and they're going to appraise them for free as well, all through PWCC's vault, promo code SCI. And while you're on PWCC Marketplace, check out their weekly auctions. They have a star Jordan from the U.S. Olympic team, 1984-1985. Love that card. Doug, what do you have your eye on this week?
I'm looking at Jordan also. 97 Flair Showcase, row 0 out of 250, PSA 9.
Ooh,
really nice Jordan.
That's a nice one. How about you, T-Pop?
I'm surprised he didn't take my pick, which is that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander actually has two of his sophomore Prism 1-of-1s, the Choice Nebula and the True Black, both up on this week's weekly auction.
All of that, wow.
You prefer Nebula or True Black?
Nebula.
Me too.
Nebulas are beautiful. All these cards, plus thousands more, all available right now on PWCCMarketplace.com. Make sure you check that out. Okay, guys, let's talk about our data dive. T-Pop, this past week, you did a video that got a lot of engagement, a lot of interest. A lot of people have been talking about this video. You said if you had $100,000 to invest, you would put it all in Topps Dynasty Baseball Rookie Patch Autos. Convince Doug and I that this is the right move, and then we're going to tell you why you're crazy.
I don't have $100,000, but if I did, I think the premise is simple. RPAs are absolutely king in basketball and football. The NT and the Flawless, Logo Man, and NFL Shield RPAs, those always top out above anything else in those two sports. Baseball is not the same. Baseball is not even close. And when I started looking at the price gaps between the most expensive RPAs from any high-end top set versus Bowman Chrome Autos and even just Topps Chrome Rookie Autographs or Bowman Chrome Rookie Autographs, they don't even sniff it. That, to me, is one of those situations where, like many times in the past, that little alarm bell just goes off inside, like, this doesn't make any sense. We've got a wave of people who may only be really Panini people today coming over into Topps products in the next 2 years, squarely over, forcibly over, unless something significantly changes. And I see that high-end crowd coming in. Bowman Chrome Autos are not going anywhere. Prospecting is not going anywhere. I think that will still remain king in baseball. But if I had to put money into Bowman Chrome prospect autos of Ronald Acuna Jr. or Aaron Judge or any of the players from 2016 to 2022, or I could put it into RPAs, I'd put it into their RPAs. I like Dynasty a lot in that regard. And I think those will outpace the Bowman Chrome autos in the next maybe 1 to 3 years.
Okay, this is an interesting theory. It's a big time theory. I think there's a lot of logic to what Teapot's saying. But Doug, do you buy into this? Baseball collectors have never been big into these rookie patch autos. Yes, football collectors are. Yes, basketball collectors are. But the baseball crowd is cut differently. The baseball crowd is looking for the first Bowmans. They're looking for color. They're looking for low numbered parallels. You know, things like the red out of fives and the super fractors just command absolutely unbelievable prices, far more than what you see any type of baseball RPA ever even getting close to sniffing. Do you think he's right in that this changes over time, or are baseball collectors just set in their ways?
I think there's a lot of sense to what he's saying, for sure, but I don't know enough about baseball. I'm not a baseball guy, so it's hard for me to give a really good opinion on where I think that's going, but your points make a lot of sense. If I had the money, I don't do baseball, first of all. I probably don't do sports at all, maybe soccer. I probably dabble in soccer because it's a very young market still. We've got the Euros and the World Cup coming up, and I think there's so much room for growth longer term with soccer, but I probably look more into non-sports. Non-sports has been more stable and has actually seen more of an uptick recently than any sport over the past year. Even, you know, Marvel is starting to see an increase again. Pokemon is always there. Now we're seeing things like Disney and Lorcana, Star Wars, One Piece, you name it. A lot of that has, you know, seen its peak in Valley, and now it's starting to steadily climb at a rate that sports cards just aren't currently,
yeah.
Specifically on sealed products. So that's probably where I would turn my focus.
Yeah, there's less of them. Yes. That's definitely true. And so you got a more of a limited selection. I like what you're saying, Teapot. I actually like your theory here. I actually might invest a little bit of money. What's alarming to me, I guess you would say, is that there's been a number of Shohei Ohtani, you know, rookie card, red refractor rookie cards, that type of thing, that have gone and have sold in the six figures.
Yeah.
And then you watch one of his top Dynasty RPAs, beautiful jersey patch, on-card auto, low numbered, sell for the low five figures.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow. Like, you know, the
Acuna sold for like 4K and that was like a high.
Yeah.
It's like his high Dynasty. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, compared to tens of thousands or more that his low numbered Bowman or
Bowman
even Tops rookie
prospect
cards.
Auto to 250 sells for the same price.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
I think you might be onto something, Teapot. I think you might be onto something here. I like
Dynasty's
that.
Awesome.
I might be on the search for a little bit of Dynasty. Next time I go to a card show, I'm going to Chantilly next weekend. If they have any Dynasty on the show floor, watch out, dealers. Watch out. I might be taking that Dynasty away from your tables, which I'm sure the dealers would be very happy with. I don't know why I made that sound threatening. I think the dealers...
Watch out. It. You're getting my
I'll
money.
Be careful. I will take your Dynasty away from you. All right, guys. I'll tell you what else I would love to pick up at that show or any show are these beautiful stand-up displays. Guys, check these out with the Major League Baseball season opening today. These are officially licensed Major League Baseball stand-up displays. If you have a Chipper Jones card in your collection, perhaps you might want to put it on a Brave stand-up display. Or how about a little Manny Ramirez from the Dodgers? Little throwback right there on a Dodgers stand-up display, whatever cards you might have. All of these Major League Baseball licensed stand-up displays and many more are available for you on standupdisplays.co. That is standupdisplays.co. Grab your card stands today. Okay, guys, let's talk about our next topic today. This is from our mailbag topics from the week. Some big news in the sports card world this week. A new card shop has opened inside the Cincinnati Reds Stadium, Cincinnati's Great American Ballpark. This is the Hit Seekers card shop. There was already one of these in Fort Mitchell. Now they're opening up, I guess, what amounts to a large kiosk.
Yeah.
Inside the stadium, I think it's there in the outfield. This is the first known card shop located inside a Major League stadium. There's been some others that have been built near stadiums. I know like Card Vault up in New England, up in the Boston area. They've got shops that are close to stadiums, but this one is actually in the stadium while the game's going on. You could be shopping for cards. Do we like this? Is this a gimmick? Should we see more of these types of things? Or is this not the right business move in terms of card shop placement? Teapot, I'm going to start with you.
I love it. I think we're going to see a lot more of this personally. I didn't expect to necessarily see a full-blown card shop as much as like cards having a stronger presence in the team stores, knowing Fanatics has ties to the teams. But I love it. I think it's awesome. I think it makes sense. It'd be really cool if the Reds and Fanatics and that whole relationship could work out some kind of like incentives and rewards. If you hit something big at the stadium, we'll put you up on the screen and put you on the Jumbotron and run you out and get it signed by Ellie or
that.
It would be really cool if that type of stuff happened. My only question for you, is there going to be a Cards HQ kiosk at Truist anytime soon over at the Battery?
It's not a bad idea. I like your idea.
Cards or cash.
We are just a mile from Truist, but it would be nice to have a little bit of activation inside the stadium there. Absolutely. I like the thought process. Doug, where are you on this?
I actually was going the opposite direction there with your last statement. I was going to say, hopefully no one tries to put a card shop in Truist.
Well, we have to beat them to it.
We've got Atlanta locked down. So, you know, come to Cards HQ. If anybody but us opens a pop-up shop, don't go to it. I think it's a really good idea because I think anytime you can expose non-sports card fans to sports cards, it's a good move. And this is a really obvious parallel. You're going to have a ton of sports fans in the stadium. The cards are going to be right there. People that don't even know about cards are going to have exposure to it. I imagine if this is successful, you're going to see that spread. And I think that's a really good thing. And it sounds like something Fanatics would have done, right, with their marketing ideas and some of the things that they wanted to do to get more people involved in sports cards. This is a really good move in that direction.
I'm sure Fanatics is thrilled with this.
Yeah.
And in fact, yesterday on the Jeff Wilson Show, I put out a video of Michael Rubin's visit here. And for those of you who haven't seen that video, go watch that video because he dropped a lot of really interesting nuggets during that video, including, you know, pledging his support to any card shop that does something interesting, compelling, helps raise the hobby in a different way. And I think opening up inside a ballpark does exactly that. I love the idea of the tie-ins and the different things you could do. Obviously, ballparks are high foot traffic. People are already coming there often expecting to spend some money, whether it's on concessions or souvenirs. You know, people like to go to the ballpark and buy souvenirs. A lot of kids go to the game. So I think having cards there as part of that element could be a really cool thing. And plus, it's a good spectator sport. If you've got like a little card opening bar, a ripping wax bar, and people are ripping wax there and opening up cards, you're going to get other people kind of crowding around and seeing what's happening. You could do some really cool content. That alone might be a reason that we need to consider doing that in the future. Love it. All right, guys, let's jump to our second mailbag of the day. Some other news that broke this past week in the sports card world is CGC, the grading company, has acquired JSA, James Spence Authentication, known for autograph authentication. This is interesting. CGC has obviously been a big time grader for a long time in comic books. And also, they've had a lot of success recently in non-sports cards. Their numbers grading Pokemon and that type of thing have been pretty high. Now, they launched into the sports card grading world a few years ago, but they don't have a lot of traction. They're sitting in kind of a distant fourth. They're behind Beckett, and they're a little bit behind Beckett, but they're way behind SGC, and they're unbelievably far behind PSA. But of course, everybody is unbelievably far behind PSA. Is this a move where CGC is saying, we want to get autograph authentication so that we can try to start to make moves up the sports card grading ladder? Or is this too little too late? Are the new PSA, you know, SGC conglomerate, is that just so up there that this move doesn't make any sense to you? Doug, I'm going to start with you on this one.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what kind of impact this is going to have, to be honest. At least in the way I experience the hobby, JSA has not been a very prominent name in the ultra-modern era. In fact, if I hadn't seen them at card shows like the National, I probably wouldn't know JSA exists, to be honest with you. So I don't really know what all this entails. I don't know what the play is here for CGC. If this does enable them, if this gives them more resources or in some way enables them to start increasing their volume or whatever the case may be, I think it would be a good thing. Like, I want CGC to be competitive. There's certainly room for them to overtake Beckett. You're not going to catch up to the PSA-SGC combo, but you don't have to. You can be a very respected and successful grading company being third place. So if this enables them to take further steps forward and make that happen, it's a good thing. But, you know, I just don't know what it means because I'm not honestly just don't, I don't know a lot about JSA. They've been kind of out of the picture.
Yeah, they do a lot of autograph authentication of older cards and also, you know, autographs and memorabilia.
That's
and
where
all that
I
kind
see the things on like bats or whatever, like just memorabilia, but on cards.
But what CGC doesn't do is CGC doesn't do autograph authentication on cards. So this theoretically is going to add that capability to their grading. Is that going to make a big difference? Is that going to allow them to actually compete head-to-head and maybe move up the ranks and take on an SGC in terms of grading volume? What do you think, Teapot?
It certainly can't hurt. I mean, you say that. I don't know how much it moves the needle, like Doug said. For me, I don't do a lot of autograph authentication. So in general, I probably would say the same exact thing. Like, I've seen them at shows. People reference them. They give you a little certificate or whatever. That's pretty much the extent of what I know about JSA. But I think it does make sense, and here's what CGC has going for them. Pretty much everybody unanimously likes their slabs. They like the way they look. They really like the way they feel. They're very crystal clear. That's a nice touch, and because they are having success in the non-sports world, that helps them presumably maintain their operations and their cash flow while they continue to try to scale and become more relevant in sports cards. There's not like this urgency that they're a new company with no success trying to make it work, and if it doesn't, they're gonna just fizzle out and run out of money. Mm-hmm. I think they can just keep at it. And if they keep layering in, and if SGC gets broken down or spun off into a lower tier or a vintage arm of PSA or something long-term, who knows, if Beckett kind of crumbles, you could see them sort of rise up the ranks, you know, in the long-term. So I think they're positioned well. I don't think they're going anywhere. I really like their slabs, and I think this move probably just makes sense in that.
There you go. Well, what's good for them is probably good for the sports card hobby. It gives us another grading option, and hopefully we do see growth from them in the future. I know they are private equity backed, and the private equity company that backs them, Michael Rubin, owns part of.
Bing bong.
So, you know, I don't know. I don't know if any of those dots are ever going to connect down the road. Who knows? I don't know, but kind of interesting to think about where that might, you know, perhaps go in the future, or perhaps not. Perhaps it's going to go absolutely nowhere. I don't know. Guys, what do you think about all the discussion today? Let us know in the comments below. And if you have ideas for next week's episode, let us know in the comments as well. And in the meantime, hey, give us a like, give us a subscribe, and check out these beautiful stand-up displays at standupdisplays.co and PWCC Marketplace's auction and vault service. We appreciate you. We'll see you next time. Take care.